experience is live. Jurassic World Live Tour. Tour begins September 2019.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a special edition of the Jurassic Park Podcast. I am your host, Brad Jost, and we are here to talk about Jurassic World Live Tour. I'm sure if you followed along on our social media, you would have seen that we were sent down to Florida by Feld Entertainment to visit their studios in Florida, and it was an incredible place. I was just blown away by how awesome their facilities were, and we got to witness an immersive experience all about Jurassic World Live Tour. We got to see the live tour in person, some of the first people to see this show. And let me tell you, without spoiling anything, we have a full reaction episode coming up in a few weeks for you guys. But I just want to say that I love the show. I absolutely loved it. It was so darn good. I just can't stop thinking about it, seeing those images in my head and thinking about everything that I saw. It was crazy. But we also did a podcast roundtable with the creators of Jurassic World Live Tour. We got to speak with Jessica Ferris, Dan Shipton, Ross Nicholson. We had Corey McCourt there, James Shea, and Ryan Cooper. It was an awesome conversation all about the show, the behind the scenes, everything. We learned a lot, and they revealed a lot to us, which was really, really awesome of them. And by my side, I had Aaron Beyer. You know him from The Jurassic Wire. We do that segment every month, and he is an amazing artist who works professionally on the 3D for many of your favorite Jurassic films, the Marvel Cinematic Universe, and so many other amazing films. And we tackled this podcast roundtable together, asking some questions from ourselves, from our team on the podcast, and of course the listeners. I do apologize to any of the listeners who reached out with questions and we couldn't get to yours. There were so many people that asked questions, and we thank you guys so much. I will say there are some small spoiler moments or some details revealed, at least. Maybe not too spoiler, but if you don't want to know any details about the show, maybe stay away. But I think it's a great conversation that you don't want to miss. We talked about so many things, revealed so many things, like I said. And we do have a lot of content coming your way from Jurassic World Live Tour. Like I said, we did that immersive experience. We got a lot of footage from the show, and we actually already have a live stream about 25 minutes of the show on our YouTube page, so go check that out. And we have a lot of other stuff, some vlogs, some other content. It's going to be a lot, and a full reaction show will be coming your way in a few weeks, like I said before. But I just wanted to say thank you so much to everybody at Feld for being so kind and gracious, hosting us down there, bringing us down there. We really appreciate that. And everybody at Jurassic World Live Tour, because you are all some of the greatest people. It's just such a wonderful place to be, such a warm environment. And I really wanted to shout out to the directors, Dan Shipton and Ross Nicholson, for creating something so special for the Jurassic fans. You guys are awesome. You've done an amazing job, and thank you so much for talking with us here and just being a part of something amazing. So we're going to dive right into that conversation, and I hope you guys enjoy it, and stay tuned for a ton more content related to Jurassic World Live Tour. Yeah, and we're in a special location today. This is pretty different for the Jurassic Park podcast. We're here in like a giant arena room with the setting for Jurassic World Live Tour behind us. And that's impressive. Like, we got to see the model of this thing. You weren't there, but...
No, I wasn't. Florida is where I started in visual effects, and it's actually nice to be home into something. And this reminds me of where I started. Giant studio like this. It's fantastic.
Yeah. It's like come to life, like Jurassic come to life right in front of us. And we have some special guests here. So we have Jessica Ferris. How you doing?
Hi, I'm great. Good. We're so glad you're here. Thanks for coming.
Yeah. Ross Nicholson, how you doing?
Yeah, really good. Thanks. Yeah.
Dan Shipton.
Hi. Nice to see you guys.
Yeah.
Corey McCourt, how's it going?
Good to see you again.
Yeah. James Shea.
Welcome back.
And you're Ryan Cooper, right?
I am Ryan Cooper.
I don't think we met last time.
We didn't. I didn't have the pleasure last time. I'm the design director, our director on the show.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Yeah, this is exciting because the first thing I want to know is, since we last talked, what was that, like April or something like that?
Yeah.
I wonder what kind of things have changed for the show since then, because I'm sure you kind of, you know, we just saw you guys running through stuff, literally changing on the fly right now.
Yeah, so I would say kind of the main aspects, nothing major's changed.
And mm-hmm.
Obviously just getting the cast in the room, rehearsing with them. We've had like some minor script changes, minor kind of positioning changes, blocking changes, and we continue to develop that, like as you saw, right up until at the last minute.
And that's the kind of process that every show goes through, because what we're looking to do is make sure that every moment is worthy of being there, has a either it's the awe or the wonder or the thrill or whatever we need. And we've been working heavily on pace to make sure that it's an exciting show throughout. And I suppose those tweaks have really been about tightening and making sure that practically we're delivering the best show that can go on the road and that's going to be the most exciting show for our audiences.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it looks like a lot to handle with all the stuff that's up in the sky right now. They're just like, you got to worry about these things. These, I don't know what they are, but stuff was rolling out of the back there. And you're just worried about like what we just saw was like maybe the directions of the actors, like where they're facing throughout the show, right?
Just making sure that all our audiences get like a good experience and everyone gets a good view and, you know,
And because our stage is so big, you know, we play the whole of an arena floor. So if you were going to see a pop concert, normally that's where the standing audience might be.
Mm-hmm.
But we're obviously using that as our entire stage. So we've got an audience that are in the 270 degree radius. And therefore, we need to make sure that our actors and our performers are giving value to all of those people wherever your seat is.
Yeah.
And we do have such a lovely range of seats. But in this particular rehearsal room, I mean, it's a room, it's a massive room. In this rehearsal space, it's obviously trying to be mindful of what we're going to get when we go to Columbus next week and start to put it into a proper arena.
Yeah. Is that a little nerve-wracking just to think about that first day instead of these you know, friends and families and dress rehearsals? Or
I think by the time we get to the first night, we'll have done it in front of so many people.
So many times,
and we'll hopefully feel so comfortable with our choices and with the performers' choices. We'll just be emotional because it's at the end of our, Ross and I's 2.5 year journey.
Oh, yeah.
And so hopefully we can just sit back and enjoy it. And at that point, the show team own it.
Yeah. Do you follow along, like continue with the show or no?
No. Okay.
We say goodbye.
We'll definitely pop back and pay everyone a visit. But yeah, we're doing a tour with the show.
Yeah. At what point, Jessica, does a cast go through any changes once the show, you know, becomes somebody else's at that point? Does it, do you see people change out often or
They're intended to remain with the show for the full length of our tour season.
Mm-hmm.
We inevitably have cast changes that occur throughout the year because of life. Life
happens,
right? But the intention is that the performers who open the show, the opening cast, will evolve with the show, keep raising the bar over the course of the entire year. And then we hope they'll stay and do year two as well.
Mm-hmm.
That's a big part of our company's culture is longevity, and we feel like the longer the performers are here, the more our shows, the more sophisticated they become, the better they are, the better the scenes become. I mean, everything just continues to grow, evolve, and get more sophisticated the longer they're here. So we really try to retain our folks as much as possible. As long as they're happy and thriving, we want them here from year to year.
Yeah, that's awesome. You want to follow it up?
Sure. So a professor once told me, great art is never finished, it's only taken away. Was there anything from your department that's in the show currently only because you fought for more time? So like for me, like on Fallen Kingdom, there was a shot they wanted and it was like, you simply cannot have it. I am not done. This can be better. So is there anything like that in this show?
I think you always have to, I think being a good director is about understanding limitations and making the best of those limitations. And, you know, we've talked about previously how the realities of being in a live setting is very different to being on camera, and we have to use different techniques to draw audiences' focus to certain areas. So I think the compromises are actually positives in this scenario, and the team have been so amazing. We've been given everything that we hoped it would, and actually really all the big stuff that we wanted from 2.5 years ago is still in the show.
And we've got some really technically challenging pieces in the show and some really incredible complex moments, and they've all, you know, remained pretty much as intended. So, yeah.
And we've even found ways to use the tools that we already have in additional ways we didn't think we could before.
Sure.
And even some of our transitions, we've now added in some more dino action moments and some more transitions. So you're getting even more dino than we thought we could have from the start. So it's only been a discovery of what else we can add in and just keep raising the bar beyond what we even thought was possible.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's great. I mean, I don't mean it in a negative way. I just think there's always a way to be like, you know, hey, this doesn't come out for 10 days. What can we polish? What can we fix? Like, you know.
And we're in that process right now.
Right.
And that's
yeah,
the easy
it looked
of
like it,
you
yeah.
know? Yeah, we're just always looking for tweaks.
Right.
Yeah.
Very cool.
Hey, Ryan, what about, like, the Jurassic franchise were you most excited to see, like, come to life or to bring to the stage here? Do you know?
Well, I guess the easy answer is the dinosaurs, of course. That's what everybody wants to see.
Yeah.
Those are the most fun and complex and challenging things, for sure. But
yeah.
I can't say enough about our set and our set designer, Josh Zangen, who wasn't able to join us today, and working with him and our department. All of this amazing scenery that you see here was built here at Feld with our team. So it's been fun to see it go from just doodles on paper to actually coming to life, which is the most fun thing about my job. So it's exciting to see. Yeah.
Yeah, what do you think, James?
I think, I mean, from a dinosaur and a dinosaur training standpoint, working with Ryan and Corey and all of the teams that have created and built these dinosaurs, it's been amazing to sort of see them come to life and be able to explore what they're able to do and the emotion that we have been able to pull out of those dinosaurs so that they're more than just seeing a sculpted character or creature on the floor. They really are integral to the storytelling, and they are on their own, without using words, able to relay such a strong message throughout the story. Sure. And it's been so powerful to see that happen.
Yeah. I mean, we just walked down the hallway and we're blown away by the size of a Triceratops. I mean, we've seen that thing everywhere. You know, it's just so common in pop culture that, like, you just, you know, it's a Triceratops, you get it. But when you see it in person, it, like, you're like, oh my God, I didn't realize it was so big.
The scale of the show in general has been just so impressive. And every time a new element comes in, just seeing how large and impressive it is, it really adds to the excitement of the entire show.
Yeah. Corey, was your favorite thing the dinosaurs?
Yeah, it's still a T-Rex.
I know.
It's a good moment.
Yeah.
It's still a T-Rex. We talked about it before in New York. And, I mean, she's beautiful. She's
so
exciting.
I wanted to ask you specifically about the T-Rex, though. Like, what was the most difficult process? Because I don't think it was... I don't know what stage you were at last time we talked. I think you were still in the process of going. But what was the most difficult process of, like, actually enacting it in the show?
I think just the fact that you're building a T-Rex. I mean, how do you... think about it. How do you build a dinosaur, right? I mean, it's
I don't know.
It's insanely complicated, the machinery that goes into it. It looks like a lunar landing when you strip her down. So it's crazy how much has gone into her and how much she is even still progressing as a character. So it's just incredibly complex, and having that sense of achievement when it goes off and it goes through the scene and she does what she's intended to do.
Yeah. Do you run into issues like mid-show so far, or is it pretty seamless?
You know, with anything during rehearsal process, you're always going to be figuring out, it's a shakedown period where you figure out, all right, this is something that we need to tweak, or this is something that we need to kind of massage.
And... But not just that, to be fair, we've asked you to break boundaries with the dinosaurs. So, like, there's nothing that's ever gone before that has pushed it to this level. So therefore, if we aren't having moments where we're like, oh, we've pushed it too far and it stopped working, then we don't know the limitations of our equipment, and we want to see how far we can push that animal. And that, it's something you didn't say, which I think it blows my mind, is how do you make a robot act like an animal? That's the hardest thing that we are, you know, continually refining.
And that's what you're a part of, is trying to make the people like seem like animals. Like,
yes.
I know you were casting and you showed us the videos and stuff last time. How far in the process were you then versus like how I've come now?
We had our core group of Dinoteers identified, that they had helped with the development of the costumes really early on. And we had some of our internal performers from other Feld Entertainment properties already sort of handpicked, thinking that they would be really good utilization of our veteran tour performers, that they would work really well on this show. So we had a good core group of people, but we were still really evaluating what each of the roles would require and who was going to be best suited to fill yeah. them, and going over video a lot and profiles a lot. So we had about halfway to go at the point that we saw you last.
Okay.
The thing though that's so incredible about our cast is that the ones who are bringing the dinos to life are unbelievable to me. I mean, like James said, the way they're able to convey emotion.
Sure.
When we see Jeannie get trapped under the pipe, I mean, every time, no matter how much I try not to, I well up.
You get, yeah.
Because it's so real. Yeah. Uh-huh. Seeing the way that that's performed is incredible. But it also takes the named characters, the Kate Walker, our Martin, Allison, Chad, to bring those dinosaurs to life.
Yeah.
If they don't make them monsters, for example, if they don't show that fear, then we're missing out as well. So it's really a partnership between our dinoteers and our non-dinoteers working together to really make this come to life. Mm-hmm. And they're doing that impeccably well.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Mm-hmm.
So proud of the emotional 100%. Impact they're making on the viewer. Mm-hmm. I mean, you can't help but there's three different places in the show where I cry a little bit every time. I'm like, darn it,
yeah.
Allison got me again with that Jeannie goodbye. You know, they are so invested and truly emotionally involved themselves as humans, and it's just incredible what they're doing.
I know,
so proud.
I know Chris can attest over there. We attempted. You had us attempt to like act as a dinosaur last time, and we were, you didn't cast us, we are not in the show.
We didn't come to the audition.
No.
No. Like, we have to be fair.
It's hard, it's not easy work. But
no,
is there, like, cause you guys make the characters of the dinosaurs, the actual characters, they're not just dinosaurs, you know, maybe some of them, but how do you balance that between the humans and the dinosaurs, like balancing that character like throughout the show?
Well, I mean, Kate Walker and Jeannie have this incredible backstory, right? The original story where they've been working together for years. And you hear her saying, I've been building trust with her for years. And so we're coming into the story once that work has already been done. So it's laid into the theme of the show, and it's their job to bring that to life. And they're just doing such an incredible job of it. The way that they make eye contact with each other, the language that we've developed as far as hand signals for Kate to communicate with Jeannie, the dino decoder is so brilliant. So it's that insight as to how we can interpret what's going on in the mind of that animal as well.
Sure.
So we've developed these sort of pathways of communication that sell that message.
Yeah.
That if you really work hard and take the time to let science bring us closer together, we really can relate to animals in a way to save them and to promote the different species on Earth.
Sure.
I know dinos are extinct and everything, but I just feel like that theme has a really positive message and teaches our families that are coming out to sea, and teaches the kids to really care for.
Sticking with the core values of the franchise, like those core emotions, translating them into dinos, seeing them up close and personal, like being face to face with Jeannie, being face to face with raptors, I think that really is something that we've tried really hard to get across to people and just play on those, like those core human emotions.
Yeah.
And emotion is the key word, because what there's elements of the show that we knew they were there, but they have really come to fruition. So we knew there would be fear when a raptor comes out. We knew there would be laughs when we landed a joke. What we weren't expecting is the genuine amount of tears at the end when people say goodbye to Jeannie. You genuinely, from the moment that she's rounded up in her first scene in Act One, you love that dinosaur and you go on a journey with her. And when they say goodbye, I mean,
you're welling up. I see.
Genuinely, it's a really emotional thing.
True. Yeah, and I know we were talking about it back in the hotel, the dino decoder, right? Like we were wondering about like grounding it and making it, because it seems like a fantastical thing, right?
Well, it's super fantastical. Just like when they announced that Jurassic World was going to be training raptors, right? And the first initial response is, oh, they've missed what Jurassic is. But then when Jurassic World came out and the way they handled it, I lived in Orlando. When that unfortunate event happened at SeaWorld and that trainer lost her life working with one of her animals that she loved. How do you take something like the dino decoder, which is very fantastical, how do you ground that just make it just seem natural in the universe.
Again, I think you take it back to the core values of Jurassic Park, in that it all stems from believable science. And so we straight away, as soon as we introduce the Dino Dakota, we go through, one of the characters does a presentation and explains the science behind the Dino Dakota, how it works, how we translate the emotions, and then we get that like done straight away. So then from then on, everyone's free to then enjoy the Dino Dakota, knowing that it's believable, knowing that they understand
everyone's on board with it.
Obviously, we were worried, you know, we wanted to make sure that that landed and everyone understood it. And we had Frank Marshall in the other day, and the first thing he said to us after the show was, "I am the truth police,
the logic police.
And I genuinely followed every bit of science and believe the show. So we were like, all right, that's a win. We'll take that one. If Frank
That's fantastic.
That's enough for us.
Yeah, the entire universe has done great of, like I said, delivering something that you go, that seems weird, but then within 15, 20 minutes, you're on board, let's roll. Yeah, that's exciting.
And this is Ryan, the design of it as well, we took a lot of care in making it feel sort of like an organically present thing, and not it's not some monstrosity that's just sort of attached to her head. We put a lot of care into the design of the actual prop itself, so so that it feels both sort of scientific and sort of true to her character, if you will, so... That's, I think, a big part of sort of selling it as a piece that lives on her, but is also scientific and does all the stuff
it
needs to do.
And the best reaction we've had is when you can buy a Dino Dakota, and when you're holding that, we've all been holding them, and they light up at the same time that Jeannie reflects the emotion and Kate lights up on stage. It's a real moment because you absolutely understand it. You feel it. You're there.
Oh, that's awesome.
That's amazing. I was, you know, paying attention while you were running through it, and you're just talking about like how the science wasn't there yet, maybe. You're just still working through it. So that's, I'm excited to see like how it like begins from its life cycle, like this technology. But is there anything in this show specifically that you would like to see like maybe move forward in Jurassic, whether it's a novel or a movie or anything? Is there something that you would just like to see like go forward?
I'd definitely love to see a Troodon in the films. I think that, you know, we've really fallen in love with Jeannie throughout this whole process. And she's got such good intelligence and like such a nice warmth to her. It would be amazing to see like a Troodon elsewhere in the franchise.
And similarly, I think we've all fallen in love with Kate as a character. And Madison plays her sensationally, but at the same time, the character of Kate and the badass nature of her with this soft edge of being scientific is just so enthralling. And unlike another lady in the show, in the franchise. So it's a really exciting character that, you know, could easily develop into any other environment.
Yeah, I think we were specifically talking about that character and Madison's character, and just seeing like if she would show up anywhere else. You know, we got other shows coming out, like there's always a chance. We're excited by it. But what else we got here? All right, so I don't want you to like spoil the ending or anything for the listeners just yet, for the people who haven't seen it. But, you know, this takes place in between Jurassic World and Fallen Kingdom. How close do you get to Fallen Kingdom?
We definitely play more closely to the events in Jurassic World. But in the creation and development, we obviously were mindful of the events in Fallen Kingdom and how we were true and authentic to this being and preceding that in the events that happen in the show. So we didn't want to necessarily foreshadow anything or, you know, give anything away, but
it's gonna be tough just to set yourself in a certain timeline because things are always changing. Like there are always prequels or you know, other things out there that you never know what they're gonna pump out at some point. So I'm sure they don't want to, you know, have the show run over something that they want to work on.
We also have to trust NBCU because they are telling us that we absolutely fit perfectly into their canon. So they know their bigger world. They shared with us the story of Fallen Kingdom, of course, when we were developing the show, and so we were fully aware of where we sat between the two, and everything is ticking the boxes from their point of view. So I think we're all good. And
just talking about it so much, I'm so excited to see it. I'm so excited.
Really looking forward to it. You got to see if you can find some of the Easter eggs that we've hidden in there for you guys.
Oh yeah, that's what we'll be, our eyes will just be like wide open the whole time. We'll probably have to see it like 6 times, like take it all in and get all those things.
There's some definitely, don't underestimate the amount of stuff we've hidden in there.
That's awesome. I think we'll maybe tackle that later. Somebody actually asked something about that, but you want to follow up with your other
question
here?
Sure. So in the very first film, John Hammond says that creation is an act of sheer will. What specifically about the project wills you out of bed every single morning? You know, I'm sure at this point you guys are in crunch mode trying to just get the final details out. What about the show gets you up every single day at the hardest point of production and just keeps you motivated?
For me, it's 100% the cast and crew. Like, they are really inspirational. Couldn't ask for a better team. And just coming to work every day, working with this amazing bunch of people is like definitely enough to get me out of bed in the morning.
And I think knowing that what we are going to be sharing with the world is so special, and is probably, yes, far surpasses where we even thought it might be, and we were already excited about it. I think that also drives us forward to keep working all the extra hours that we can possibly work, because we just want it to be so amazing. And we want to give the team that are going on the road the best possible show that they can be so proud of, and continue to develop on a, you know, as they live it.
Yeah. What do you think?
I think it's just to deliver something amazing to the fans. I mean, you see it and you get excited about it, and you I enjoy the movies myself, so it's seeing that and being like, people are going to really enjoy this and they're going to see these dinosaurs come to life. So that's a huge thing to do, you know, to be a part of.
Yeah, I'm sure you got a great crew, and like they said, it's the people that are in the show and stuff, right? Do you value that a lot?
Oh yeah, I mean, I would say exactly what he said. They are just the dearest, most sincere, dedicated people. They absolutely drive us every day to do our best work on their behalf, and make sure that what they take out on the road and do every week is going to be something that they can sustain, for one thing, that we're creating something that they can really keep going and continue to improve upon.
Yeah.
Like I said about raising the bar, we want them to have the best foundation to do that.
Sure.
But I also have to commend Dan and Ross for being incredible
directors.
You got
to say it because we're here.
And I've told them privately, I mean, the culture that they've established for us as a group has been so positive and so collaborative, and they've been so respectful of people's ideas and what we all bring to the table as a creative group. And it's been worth coming here every day just to work with you guys too. And we're going to miss you.
Thanks, I will cry. The one thing that we always say, we call it the Jurassic World Live Tour family. And that makes sense, not to just how amazing the team is backstage and as performers, but also the show is actually all about family. And when you see that, that's the thing that we've really found that's buried in the script and just has come really, really high end right at the end. And so the family of Jurassic World Live Tour, both on and off stage, is a very special thing to be a part of.
Yeah. James, is it the explosions and the stunts that get you out of bed?
it's true. I mean, it's wild. It's the evolution. I mean, the word evolution is so big in the franchise,
but
it's so true even in our process. And to come in every day, and it never is the same thing every day because it's always growing. And when you think you've seen the end product, you come in the next day and like 10 new things have been added that have enhanced it to a level you didn't know it could get to. And the cast finds different ways to add tiny little moments in that you then notice and you laugh or you cry at because they've tweaked something so minor, but it has made such a great impact. And everyone just continues to develop, even scenically. You know, you come in and they've added some another scenic piece that has given it a whole new dimension and depth that you didn't know was possible. So evolution is what brings me in every day for sure. And seeing the growth, it's unbelievable.
How about you, Ryan?
Yeah, well, as James said about the scenery, it's fun to start with a doodle and then see it really literally come to life, and to be a part of that process has been amazing. So we just, you know, on my end, I just bringing whatever I bring to it every day and seeing it get better and better and better. That's what drives us. I think Corey and I Corey would probably say the same thing. Getting here every day, seeing it just literally get better right in front of your eyes is a pretty fun thing to see.
I know I reached out to like a lot of people online for questions and stuff like that, and there, one of the biggest questions was international audience. I don't know if you guys can answer this at all, but what can international audiences expect in the future for this show? Do they get a chance, or is it something maybe like a Fathom Events where you go to a theater and view it, or do you happen to know? This is what I expected, but...
You guys can literally say,
no,
cannot
nothing.
Comment. Like,
yeah,
totally
I think with
understand.
All of our properties and all of our products, always a goal to go.
Yeah, we will definitely be going internationally.
Okay.
And what you can expect is for everywhere this show to go to be equally as amazing as the opening night. Mm-hmm. That's the aim. Anywhere it goes, it will be translated to make sense to that audience, but nothing will be changing, and we will be taking the most amazing group of people with us to do this wherever it goes.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if you experienced this with the other, you know, properties that are from Feld, but like Jurassic fans want to take in every single ounce of canon, you know, that we have. And if that's what this is, like, they want to see it, and they want to see it now. So
I mean,
that's not going to happen, but eventually.
If they want to fly here and see it,
that's the best answer.
They will definitely be getting
sure.
the opportunity.
I had people reach out about, are we going to see it in like a novel form or on a, you know, a DVD or something like that? So I know people are just clamoring to see it, and that speaks
that's
volumes
really
for what you guys have created.
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah.
Yeah, so why don't we actually go to some questions from our team first. I don't know if it was you guys or not, but James here asks, how and why did you decide in which point to start the story for the show? Was that partly you guys or Universal?
When the idea first came about, they looked at options and knew at that point, this was before Fallen Kingdom had been announced, so we wanted to know what that timeline should be, and we wanted to connect it with the first film so heavily, but then also make sure that we could stand alone and not be restricted by anything else that's out there. And they gave us that bracket to work within, and so that's how we developed it from there.
Yeah, James here asks, how is this show innovating / different than other shows that we've seen? And what was the approach in trying to tackle Jurassic World in a new and engaging way with audiences?
Do you want to talk about innovative dinosaurs?
I mean, dinosaurs is a big one.
It's literally bringing dinosaurs to you. I mean, everything else has been CGI. I mean, you're in an arena, in an environment, and you're sharing that experience similar to a movie theater, but it's real.
Yeah,
you know, you've got the dinosaur in front of you. I mean, depending on where you're sitting, you're going to see this massive creature in your hometown.
So, and scale was such a big part too. Mm-hmm. So the relative size between the troodons and then into the raptors and then all the way up in scale to the full size T-Rex that we have. That's something that you really don't see anywhere else, is to really get the actual sort of relative scale of each of these dinosaurs and see them all in one place.
And I think the other thing is it's innovative because it's actually putting dinosaurs at the heart of a true story. Mm-hmm. It's not a show and tell or like a museum or zoo experience. It is absolutely, they are there to drive that story forward, and they're only there for that reason, and just like the films, they used it respectively for that.
And it's not just a T-Rex, it's like the actual T-Rex from the franchise. It's like we took the CGI models to make it so it is the T-Rex, and it is like the blue, you know, so it's that was really important to us to keep that authenticity and make it different, and it's not just another dinosaur show. It's really is true to
we've
franchise.
Never had anything like this, so that's awesome.
And I think it's, you know, we've got obviously, you know, as you know, in an arena you can sit anywhere, but in theory it's being innovative because we're trying to take it off the arena floor and get it out there, get it into the audience. There are moments that you won't just quite see in here because if we don't have, not for arena seating, but you'll get the sense of how it connects, it will, and be expanding into the arena, which makes
the audience is definitely a big part of the show. And we engage them with multiple opportunities throughout the performance, so you really will come to the show and feel like you're in Jurassic World, and that's, I think, a really unique experience for any fan.
I get a fun one here from my buddy Travis. He says, Have the Velociraptors actually been successfully trained to drive the vehicles transporting the tour's crew and props? Did you guys tackle that yet, or
no comment?
I don't think we're quite there in the training.
They do a lot of things,
but not that.
Failed their CDL.
All right, so we got some.
Move on to the
listeners. You want to tackle that one?
Sure. So we have a bunch of different social media outlets that we try to interact with. Listeners from all around the community. Charity from Facebook wants to know, what is your favorite part of the show's preparation?
For me, it's that moment when we first liked the show. We've worked up until that point, we've worked on all the blocking and working with the performers and getting everything together. But when we actually add the video elements and the lighting, suddenly that's like the glue that just makes the world complete. Mm-hmm. And as soon as you turn what we call the working lights, the bright white light off, suddenly everything just becomes real. And the more we've layered that in, work hours and hours and hours adding and adding and adding to that process. And I think there was people that saw it in white light as we're sat in right now, and then there were people that came back seeing it in the real light, and suddenly that was a whole new dimension for
makes
them.
A difference. Mm. Yeah, it actually, like, the lights just circled around before, and then on the backdrop there we saw like the jungle, and that just created a whole different element.
Yeah.
Like, and we've been sitting here for how long, and it just looked awesome. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. All right, so this is an interesting one. I'm interested as well. Joshua from Twitter wants to know, will there be an original score for the show? I know we just heard a lot of music from Jurassic Park and Jurassic World. Is there any original stuff in between?
Yes, there's elements of original score. So our composer Tim Williams has worked with the scores from Jurassic World and Jurassic Park, and we've reinterpreted some of those scores, and we've got obviously iconic moments from the film scores as well.
Awesome. Yeah. Just watching the scene right there with that score, it was so impressive, and so you get the sense of like who those people are based mm-hmm. off the themes and everything. So
it was very funny. We hadn't watched Jurassic World in a while, and we had an early night one night, so we sat down with a glass of wine and put the film on, and it was amazing going back and hearing all the music and seeing where that team had chosen to place things and where we've chosen to take all those same cues and rework them, and the tie-ins between the film and us are mm-hmm. so prevalent, and we're in it, but I'm sure you guys know the film's inside out, so as you get to know our show inside out, you'll really feel that.
I'm sure you take a little ownership over that theme too. When you hear it, it's like, oh, that's from my show, and you're like, oh, well, it's also from the movies too. But
it evokes a lot of emotion too. I mean, when I first started watching it, and they started actually, they've been re-recording it with a full orchestra, and hearing the actual orchestrations now layered into the music track, it makes you feel something.
Yeah.
Then they have really developed exactly where those beats go, where it takes into that somber turn, or there's a scene right at the beginning of the show that you feel like terror on the edge of your seat right off the bat when you hear that shift in music, and it really tells a powerful story that ties in so well.
Corey, do you take ownership of the T-Rex? Like, when you watch Jurassic Park, you're like, that's my girl right there. Like,
slightly.
He does.
You have to take ownership when it goes wrong.
Good and bad.
That's been the impossible thing, right? Is to get that T-Rex out and running, and you do feel some ownership, but and pride really for everybody that's been a part of bringing her to life.
Exactly.
So it's just super exciting, and I can't wait till the opening and be in an arena and I kind of feel that energy from everybody seeing her for the first time. Like, mm-hmm. I'm gonna be blown away.
And she's like an old friend. It's like when Blue comes out, you're like, oh, awesome.
Yeah.
Because you just feel like you're just in your gut. It's just a friend sort of coming out to, it's like seeing a celebrity sort of within our show.
Sure.
Oh, Blue's here. Awesome. So, and it's the same thing with the T-Rex, and we've taken such care with the finishes on these dinos down to the scale, and the process of getting the paint just right and working with the folks at Universal so closely to get these things just perfect, that when she comes out, exactly she's what she's supposed to be.
Mm-hmm.
So there's that realism, I think, that is just awesome, that you're not going to see anywhere but this show.
I'll take the next one.
Sure. Josh on Instagram wants to know, and I think as the Jurassic movies have progressed, there's been more and more and more. Josh on Instagram wants to know how many dinosaurs will be on stage at a time. Can you say anything to that at all?
Well, we'll tell you how many dinosaurs are in the show.
Sure. Yeah.
It's 22.
Yeah, seven different 22? Types.
Seven different species.
Yeah, seven species. Yeah. Uh-huh. And then
22 total.
22, I think. There's a lot.
There's a lot. Yeah. Yes. Well, I can tell you all the big ones. It's just we've got so many flying dinosaurs.
Yeah. True. Yeah.
And we're only seeing half of them in the room at the moment because normally this room will, in an arena, be expanding, so they go out of the audience. So we're not seeing all of those.
Right.
But yeah, you get all the classics. Obviously, you get Triceratops in blue, you get a T-Rex, you get a Stegosaurus, you get a baby Stegosaurus who's so cute.
Yeah.
You get our genie and you
Indominus
get
Rex.
Indominus Rex, Rex. And right. You get our Raptors. Yeah, and then you get genie's babies and you get some Pteranodons.
Yeah,
I'm sure it's kind of like it's got to be hard to calculate everything because there's humans, there's dinosaurs, there's vehicles, and so much stuff going on.
Yeah,
can't wait to see that all. All right, so this is, I was referencing this before, but Jurassic Australia on Instagram asks, will there be any references to the original Jurassic Park? I know you talked about Easter eggs.
How about a ton of them?
Yeah. We've had a lot of fun with, planting those little Easter eggs and little nuggets in and around the show for people to enjoy.
Mm-hmm. Nice. We don't want to spoil it.
Yeah, definitely don't spoil it.
No.
Put it this way, you get one in the first moment of the show.
Right.
Okay. Fantastic.
Like the very first thing
that
happens.
That's awesome. Clayton Fioriti on Instagram, he asks, what can you tell us about the InGen base in Chile?
What do you want to know? I mean, it's a really fun scene in the show that ends Act 1.
There's a lot going on in it. Yeah.
And we, from a story point of view, we have brought some of the raptors and genie off of the island. Mm-hmm. So it's kind of a prelude to maybe what Fallen Kingdom has become. Mm-hmm. But they are there and they do escape at the end, and we don't ever resolve whether they're caught or not, but it's a really fun beat and they are... they're there, and it's a really nice way
setting
of
up the sequel.
It's a nice way of not being on the island and passing that 3 month timing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I like that. I think he'll be happy with that answer. But that's
Clayton will be happy with
it. He's been bugging me on like every social media platform asking
it's like
that question.
We could tell you, Clayton, but then we'd have to kill you. Yeah.
The other thing about that facility that's really cool though is it gives us an opportunity to add in those stunts and those action beats and to put in some elements that wouldn't have been on the island, mm-hmm. but allow us to utilize all of these cool action beats.
Sure.
Yeah, wait until you see the motorbikes.
Yeah, and just see a different environment, and it's in the Atacama Desert, so it gives us a different landscape to play around with in a different
plus
context
our version
for those dinosaurs.
Raptors and raptor cams and all sorts of fun things like that.
That's so awesome.
We were so contained to like two islands and like a few different cities here and there, so it's nice to get like something completely new too. Yeah. Mm-hmm. It's nothing we've ever seen, so that's exciting. But that wraps up all our questions. So I thank you guys very much for joining us
today.
Thank you.
We are very excited. Can't say it enough. It's gonna be fun. Thank you.
Drop what you're doing and leave now.